just remain standing, if you will, turn to Romans chapter number 4. Romans chapter number 4. Appreciate that song. Amen. As well. I'm glad our God's still in control. Talk about not being fickle. He has not abdicated the throne. Amen. He's not stepped down. Satan's not in control. I know it looks like he's doing a lot of things in this world today. He's doing a lot of things maybe in our own families. But I'm glad God's still in control. Amen. And it is going to turn out like God said that it would. Amen. And a lot of things, well, there's just a lot of things to think about, just to be honest with you. I may have mentioned, I don't remember. No, I didn't mention it here. One of the things that some of our military leaders are concerned about is about Mr. Putin. And did that do it on or did that? Okay, battery's probably dead. I got a battery in my pocket. Mr. Putin has said, I don't remember now if it's 15 or 25 years ago, that he wanted to see the former Soviet Union back to its strength. In other words, he wants to make the USSR great again. And in their mind, did that do it? All right. Now, all right. I'm not going to preach long. It just takes me a long time to get this microphone working. But about Mr. Putin wanting to make Soviet Union a mighty world power again. And one of the ways to do that is to recapture those nations that splintered off from them when the Soviet Union fell apart. And the beginning point is Ukraine. If he can get Ukraine to fall, the rest of them will do like dominoes. They're the powerhouse. And I think he's 73 years old, I believe he's right. And so Mr. Putin figures his time in office, his time in power, is coming to a close. If he's going to do it, he's got to do it now. And that's probably why he's moving like he's doing. But here's another case. The devil knows his time is short. That's what the Bible says in the book of Revelation. The dragon knoweth that his time is short. And so he's doing what he can do while he can do it. Amen. But so that means the trouble. Trouble, trouble, trouble. Trouble everywhere we go. Evil men and seducers are going to wax worse and worse. It's not going to get better. It's going to get worse until Jesus comes. But he is coming. Amen. And that is our blessed hope. Wherefore, comfort one another, amen, with these words. It is comforting to know that the trumpet may sound today. Amen. And we could go to be with the Lord on this very day. Amen. Romans chapter number 4, we're going to look at the last 7 verses, or last 8 verses, verse number 18, down through verse number 25. Verse number 18, down through verse number 25. You know that I've been talking about looking at these verses, verse by verse now for some time. And chapter number 4 particularly tells us that salvation is by faith. Amen. I'm looking already, preparing a little bit ahead. And chapter number 5 is going to show us that salvation not only is by faith and is free, but it's forever. Amen. I'm glad I'm saved forever. Amen. Once, you say, preacher, do you believe that once saved, always saved? Absolutely, for them that are once saved. Amen. We sing the song, I once was lost, ain't never been lost again. Now I'm found. Amen. This crowd that loses it got to sing, I was lost 10 or 12 times. Now I'm found again. Hope I can hold on to it this time. And I'm saying that a little facetiously, and I'm not necessarily mocking, but that's what they believe. I'm glad we've got a salvation that is forever. And we got a Bible that tells us that, by the way. Amen. That's another message. All right. Look at verse number 18. And let's read it like we've been doing, responsive reading, as they call it. I'll read the first verse, verse 18. You'll come in on verse 19. I'll read verse 20. You'll come in on 21. And we'll do that till we finish out the chapter. Verse number 18. Who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. And it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Praise God for the salvation that comes through Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. Brother Chuck Simpson, would you lead us in prayer, please? Yes. Yes, Lord. Oh, yes. Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated, and thank you for that prayer. Amen. Well, as you know, these first three chapters of the book of Romans has shown us how God relates to sinners. And he mentions that he's going to judge the heathen, he's going to judge the hypocrite, and he's going to judge the Hebrews. All three of those in those three chapters respectively. And he shows us in those first three chapters that how God sees sinners. God sees sinners as guilty, without excuse, and without exception. Amen. Now, chapter number 4, we pick up a new thought process running from chapter 4 into chapter number 8. And we're dealing not just with how God sees sinners as guilty, but how God saves sinners by grace. Amen. And we saw how God saves sinners and then how God relates to saints. He saves sinners by grace without the law and without circumcision. That's what we've been dealing with in the last several statements as he has looked at the life of Abraham. He's looked at a statement of David and about how all those that salvation was not a work of man, but was an act of grace. Amen. That through faith, God saves them by his grace. Amen. And so when we started studying that, he reminds us of Abraham's salvation, because Abraham is the first man that it specifically says that through his lineage, the seed will come. We know that God said it when Adam and Eve were there in the garden, but God didn't say through Adam. That would have been pretty random anyway, because everybody's coming through Adam. But he did say through the seed of the woman. But the first man that he said through his loins, it was Abraham. And so Abraham is the father of the faith. He's the father of our Lord Jesus Christ in the flesh, if you use it that way. Christ came through that lineage, amen, and was born through that lineage as God talked about. But Abraham believed God before the act happened, amen. Before Abraham had even one son, Abraham believed God, amen. And he believed God that God was going to have a son and that God was going to, through that seed, was going to reconcile the world unto himself. Now today, we're going to continue looking at Abraham. He's dealing with the faith of Abraham. And what Abraham found is particularly what we looked at last week. What was it that Abraham saw? What was it that Abraham discovered? Abraham found salvation. Amen. And so can you and I. So can whosoever will. Amen. Now today we're going to go back to looking at Abraham and our example and some instruction from that as well. I'm going to point out three things. There are three points, but I'm going verse by verse, and you'll see these points in the verse, and they do follow a little bit, but then scattered as well. But you're going to notice what it was that Abraham believed that brought him salvation. First of all, Abraham believed the divine promise of God. Secondly, Abraham believed the divine power of God, that what God promised, he could do. Third thing, Abraham believed the divine person of God. Because salvation is not just in a word, a promise, and not just in a power, it's in a person. It's in the person of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so we're going to be noticing that as we go through these verses. Look at verse number 18 again. And the Bible says this, talking about Abraham, who against hope believed in hope. Well, that's a good phrase, ain't it? Who against hope believed in hope. Sometimes the doctors say it's hopeless. Well, you can choose to believe the doctor. Amen. Or you can choose to believe against hope. Hope against hope. If God says it's going to be all right, it's going to be all right. I like to use the illustration. I remember hearing about this old man went to see the doctor, and the doctor said, well, I've got some bad news. And the old man said, all right, what is it? The doctor said, you're going to die. The old man said, well, so are you, doc. That's right. He said, but I'm ready. Are you? That's what the old man said to the doctor. That's right. That's how we ought to live our life. Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Now, notice that when God announced to Abram in Genesis 15, when this text is referring to, and we'll look back there in a minute. Matter of fact, if you want to be turning there, go ahead. Genesis 15, hold your place in Romans 4, we'll be back. But Genesis 15, we'll look at those first five verses here in just a moment. But when God spoke this to Abraham in Genesis 15, he announced that Abraham would not only be a father, which he had never done, or I keep saying Abraham, he's known as Abram then. God had not changed his name yet. He's not only going to be a father, which he had never been, nearly 100 years old. God said, not only are you going to be a father, you're going to be a father of many nations. He told him, look to the stars and count the stars if he could. Look, let's look at that. Verse number 1 of chapter number 15 of Genesis. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram. I said, Abraham. Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. By the way, notice what he said. God's speaking to Abraham, but he said, put your eyes on me. Me. Amen. Fear not, Abraham. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. Amen. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. Look at verse 6. I didn't list this, but it should be. And he believed in the Lord, and he, talking about God, counted it to him, talking about Abram, for righteousness. Amen. Abraham believed God, and God counted it unto him for righteousness. And so we're talking about salvation by faith, but God made a promise to Abraham. And in his promise to Abraham, he said, look to me, look to me. That's where we've got to look. If you want to be saved, you got to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Amen. He's the one that bought and paid for it. Look to him. Amen. Well, we're living in a sad day. We're living in a day when a lot of people don't want to go to work. They want to look to the government. God says, look to me. If you want salvation, hey, there's a lot of people who want to work for salvation. God says, look to me. Amen. So God promised Abram that he would give a promised seed. I wrote that in the margin of my Bible in verse number 4. He said, this shall not be thine heir, not this man, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels. He's not talking about Isaac. He's not talking about Ishmael. He's talking about Christ down through the years that's going to come. Amen. By the way, why did God tell him, look at the stars? Because the stars are way yonder. They're not up close. And God was telling Abraham, this ain't going to happen like that, but it will happen. Amen. It will happen. That you, scientists have figured out, they claim that some of them stars, the light we're looking at today, they're saying some of them stars ain't even there now. They done burn out years ago. But it took all this time for the stars to get. Now, I don't know if I understand all that. I got a little bit of question. Who took a tape measure and measured how far the sun is from the earth to start with? Who held the thumb on the end of it out there at the sun? But they estimate all this stuff. And they do know, I mean, they can figure out a lot of things. But here, my point is, however you want to say it, the stars are way out yonder. And God was saying to Abraham, I'm going to prepare a seed. I'm going to deliver a seed. He's going to come through thy bowels. He's going to come through thy loins. He's going to come as a descendant of Abraham. But he said, it's not going to necessarily happen quickly. It may be a long way off, but it will happen. You see that light? It may look dim, but there's light there. Amen. For a sinner, let me tell you something, sinner. You may feel like you're in a dark night, but if you look up at the sky, I'm talking about look towards God, there's a light there. It may look dim today. It may look like it's a long way off, but God's made some promises that will come to pass. Amen. So God promised Abram that the promised seed was going to come through his own bowels. That's the phrase that he used. His own children would be his inheritor, not this servant Eliezer of Damascus. Then God instructed Abram to look up, to look toward heaven. Amen. Now notice this. This is a good point why that I said it. Not only told him to look up and see the stars, they're a long way off, but he didn't say look down at your body and see how firm and fit you are. Amen. A lot of times here's what sinners do. Well, I'm not as bad as so and so. Maybe I could be saved. Don't look at how firm and fit you are. Salvation is not in you. The answer to the promise is not in you. Amen. He didn't tell him to look at his own body, see how firm and fit he was. He didn't tell him to look at the body of his wife, see how firm and fit she is. Again, well, my grandma was a good person. My grandpa was a good person. My mom and daddy was a good. Quit looking at the firm and fitness of somebody else. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Amen. He did not tell him to look inward to himself, nor to look over at these others, outward at others, but he said, look up at the stars. Brother, what do the stars show? They display God's power in the stars. They display God's wonder in the stars. Amen. He said, look up at my power. Look up at my wonder. Look up at the multitudes of the heavens. And then God said, so shall thy seed be. You see that verse number 5, if you're still looking at Genesis 15? The last, what's that, 5 words of verse number 5 of chapter 15. So shall thy seed be. Turn back to to Romans chapter number 4. And we're in verse number 18, and you'll notice that these last 5 words of verse 18 are the same as the last 5 words of Genesis 15:5. So shall thy seed be. Now, what does that mean? Well, here's what it means. Let's read verse 18, and I'll show you how this applies. Who against hope, Abraham, against hope, believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations. Look at this. According to that which it was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Here's what God said to Abraham. Abraham, don't look in at yourself. Don't look over at Sarah. Look up at the stars and see how mighty the heavens are, how mighty I am. But he said, and listen to what I've said. Abraham was not dependent on himself. Abraham was not dependent on any strength of himself or anybody else. Abraham was dependent on the divine promise of God. How's those stars up there? Because God told them to be up there. Matter of fact, he said, and I like this, we got that King James Bible is a perfect Bible. Amen. He didn't say number the stars. He said tell the stars. Amen. We use, well, it's untelling or there's no telling. Do y'all use the word untelling? Anybody? Okay. North Carolina, we use that word and it's not really a word. How do you untell something? If you tell it, it's told. You can't untell it. You might wish to. Amen. Amen. You tell some people some things, you might wish you could call them up and untell them. Amen. But you can't. No telling, all right? But he says, tell the stars. Well, who told the stars to be up there? God told the stars to be up there. And when God told the stars to be up there, they're up there, impossible as it is. How do they stay up there? God told them to stay up there. You say, preacher, every now and then one of them falls. Yeah, and you know why it falls? Because God told it to. Absolutely. And so when God said, so shall thy seed be, Abraham said, you know, I don't know how this can be. I don't know how it can ever happen. But just like God told the stars to be up there, and they are, God told me this, and it will be. Amen. He was believing, he was trusting in the divine promise of God. Amen. Now, to bring it to where we're at today, our society, particularly American society, but any... Joshua and I are talking in the interview. We did an interview. I don't know what he played on the Penny Ross perspective. He interviewed Brother Holmes as well about the Ukrainian thing, but he interviewed me. We talked a little bit Thursday, and I didn't get to hear the Penny Ross perspective. I was on my way to Brother Williamson's. I was actually there, I guess, when it played. And then Saturday, I didn't hear it. I was down at Brother Logston's. So I don't know exactly what he played, but in that we were talking, one of the things Brother Holmes said about the Ukrainians is that none of them believed that Russia would attack. Some of them are offended that he left because they didn't believe that he would attack. Now, they've changed their mind today. But they didn't believe that he would really attack. Some people said now NATO didn't really believe that he would attack. Except maybe some of the military and some of the other people maybe didn't really believe that he would attack. But here's the problem with the Ukrainians. The reason they didn't believe that Putin would attack, because he's been saber-rattling for 25 years. Soldiers have been on the border for months and they haven't done anything. And so it's cry wolf, cry wolf, cry wolf, cry wolf, till all of a sudden they don't believe anything. America's about there, by the way. CNN, NBC, CNBC, MSNBC, ABC, CBS, Fox News, the whole bunch. Holler, wolf, 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 wolf. And after a while you say, what do we believe? We don't believe nothing. Don't believe anything. That's proper English. We don't believe anything. Amen. And in America today, listen to me, sinners, they say, well, here, the salvation is through the baptistry, or salvation is through the rosary, or salvation is through confession to the priest, or salvation is through joining the church, or salvation is through doing better, and after a while, they don't believe anything. Here's what you gotta believe. You gotta believe that God's word is right, even if every newscaster's a liar, and every preacher's a liar, and every man's a liar, God is true. You gotta believe that. You gotta believe that. And Abraham was trusting in the divine promise. Look at verse number 19. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. That just really says what I said a minute ago. He didn't look at his body, he didn't look at her body, and say, you know, I believe we can do this. No. We're in a day of self-improvement, by the way. Amen. Self-improvement. Well, we got a how to do everything. I guarantee you there's a book out there. If you look far enough, there's a book on how to teach yourself how to read this book. I mean, men think, well, I can handle it. I can do this. Not salvation. It's beyond man. Jonah had to say and said it right, salvation is of the Lord. If you're going to get saved, it's going to take God to do it. Amen. Sometimes people say, well, preacher, you remember me? You're the one saved me. Well, then you're in a bad shape if the preacher's the one saved you. If you get saved, it's going to take God that's going to get it done. Amen. So Abraham had said, first of all, his faith was not weak. But Abraham was not trusting in his own willpower. Amen. Abraham did not look down at his own body, which was now as good as dead. That's what I'm talking about. He's nearly 100 years old. But he looked up at the stars. By the way, he looked the way God pointed him to look. Amen. If you want to get saved, keep listening to God. Keep looking the way God says look. Amen. He looked the way God pointed out to him, and he looked and saw the display of God's ominous power. Amen. The great power of God. Abraham knew that if this is going to happen, he can't depend on the natural ability of Abraham and Sarah because they hadn't had a baby yet. Amen. And it wasn't because they didn't want one. It's obvious they did. Amen. But they had not had a child, and yet God said, you're going to have children. You're going to have multitudes come from your loins. Abraham knew if this happened, it's going to take more than the power of Abraham and Sarah. It's going to take the mighty power of God. So Abraham was trusting in the divine power of God to fulfill the divine purpose of God. I read John Phillips' commentary on Romans. I haven't finished it, but I've been reading in it. And John Phillips has a lot, he has a lot of good stuff, and then sometimes he'll ramble off on stuff that don't really mean nothing to me. It don't fit. But he said this about this particular verse I thought was really good. He said Abraham had two impossibilities that he had to decide which one to choose. He had the impossibility of his own flesh. He couldn't have children now. Never had. Had the impossibility of Sarah's flesh. She couldn't have children now. Never had. Or he's had the impossibility that God could lie. Well, I can't do it, but God can't lie. So what am I going to believe? I'm going to believe God. When God said it can happen, I'm going to believe God that it not only can, but that it will happen. Amen. And by the way, we have those same impossibilities that happen in our life. Well, there ain't no way this can work out. Boy, preacher, I've tried to figure this up. I've got my spreadsheet out. I've got my Excel out. I've got everything going, and I'm trying to pull this thing. I can't get the numbers to add up, preacher. Just believe God. Amen. Try trusting the divine power of God to fulfill the divine promise of God. Amen. Amen. So Abraham chose to believe God. Verse number 20. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. Now, Abraham, that doesn't mean that Abraham never wobbled. Abraham did wobble. Amen. There's times you might would say Abraham staggered. When Abraham went down to Egypt, God told Abraham to go to Israel and he'd give him that land, or Canaan. He'd give him that land. But a famine came. Abraham went to Egypt. Doesn't say God told him to. He just did. You might say he wobbled. Abraham got down to Egypt. He's worried about his wife. She's a good-looking 100-year-old woman. Well, I don't think she's hardly 100 yet. Maybe 90. Amen. And back then, you couldn't buy beauty out of a box or a bottle. You either had to have it or you didn't. But she had it. And Abraham's got a wife that he thinks is beautiful. And by the way, every man ought to think his wife's beautiful. Say amen right there. And you ought to tell her, you don't need a bottle or a box. That's just a plug. All right. That saves you some money, by the way, men. It's worth it. And a lot of time getting ready for church. You won't be late ever. No, okay. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. One fellow told me, back in North Carolina, every time his wife would go in the bathroom to start getting ready on Sunday morning, he'd stand out there singing, "Years I spent in vanity and pride." She left him, by the way. Anyway, true. Anyway, let me get back. Here's Sarah. Sarah's a beautiful woman. They're in Egypt, a heathen nation. And Abraham says, you know, I'm afraid they're going to kill me to get her. And so let's tell this little, let's stretch the truth. Truth ain't elastic, by the way. He said, let's stretch the truth here and say, you're my sister. Because really, you're my half-sister. It's a different day, by the way. You don't marry half-sisters today. And, amen. But so they tell that story, and it's a lie. By the way, if it ain't the whole truth, it is a lie. So he told a lie, and you say, well, that was wobbling. Yeah. It was, but that's not this where it says Abraham staggered not. What did he stagger not at? At the promise of God. Abraham struggled about his own ability. Abraham struggled about the land's ability. Abraham, you know, the land having famine in the land. Abraham might have struggled about a lot of other things, but one thing Abraham never struggled with, and that is Abraham knew God cannot lie. Amen. Boy, it'd be good for us to nail that thing down again, that our God cannot, never has, never will lie. We hear politicians lie so often, we just take it for granted. If their lips are moving, They're telling a lie. Yeah. I remember here, they said Abraham Lincoln walked up on a grave one time, looked at the gravestone. It said, here lies a lawyer and an honest man. And they said, Abraham Lincoln milked his chin and said, that's odd. Two men buried in the same grave. He didn't think a lawyer and an honest man could be the same man. Well, we got so used to people lying that we just take it for granted. Somebody tells you something, and I don't know if that's true or not. Right? But I'm telling you, our God never lies. Amen. This book is never wrong. I don't care what science says. When science says this book is wrong, science is wrong. Amen. When anybody else says this book is wrong, they're wrong. We have to believe that God is always right. He staggered not. He might have staggered if he looked at his own body. He might have staggered if he looked at Sarah's body. He might have staggered if he thought, how are we going to do this? But he never staggered at what God promised. Amen. Look at that last phrase, giving glory. Let me find it. There it is, giving glory to God. That's what I thought. Giving glory to God. How do we give glory to God? I'll tell you how. By believing God. By taking him at his word. Amen. Now, let me ask you a question, and you can answer it or not, but you can answer it mentally. You don't have to answer it verbally. When you tell somebody something, whether it's your wife, if it's a husband telling his wife, or a wife telling her husband, if he's paying attention, one of the odd days. And that was a joke, by the way. If you tell somebody something and they doubt you, doesn't that sort of offend you? I mean, you say, do you think I'd lie to you? How about a parent telling their child, you shouldn't do that, and the child, I don't believe that. That'll offend you. Because would you lie to your child? No, you wouldn't lie to your child. Amen. I hope you wouldn't. We're not talking about Christmas. I'm talking about right now. You wouldn't lie to them, would you? Amen. But it is offensive to us if somebody don't believe us. And we could tell something that ain't true. We could. Matter of fact, we have. But there's a God in heaven could not tell something's not true. There's a God in heaven never has told anything's not true. And when we don't believe him, I'll guarantee you it offends him. It grieves him at his heart. It grieves him at his heart. But when we believe him, matter of fact, when we believe him against hope. Amen. When we believe him, ain't no way this can happen, but I know what God said. When we believe God, it glorifies him. It gives him glory. That's what he said. Gives him glory. So, here's what I notice. Abraham was trusting the divine promise of God. Abraham was trusting the divine power of God. But Abraham was trusting the divine person of God. Because it wasn't, well, I'm leaning on God's word, and we say that, I'm standing on the promises of God. But it's not because it's promises, it's because it's God's promises. It's not because it's word, it's because it's God's word. Amen. And so we can lean on him, we can stand on him, if we want to say it that way. In other words, Abraham looked at God as the unlying one. Amen. He's the one that never tell it wrong. Amen. It was impossible for God to lie. So when God promised the impossible, Abraham had to believe it must be possible. Amen. Look at verse 21. I'm heading in the direction of getting done here. All right, verse number 21. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Boy, there you got it again. He's totally convinced in the mighty power of God. He's totally convinced in the immutable promise of God. Abraham did not look at how large and vast this promise was, how hard a task this could be. Here's what Abraham knew. Abraham knew that his God was too big a God to promise something that he wasn't big enough to do. Now people do that. Some people say, well, I can do that when they can't do it. And you may think you can. Amen. I said this the other day to somebody. We was talking and they say, you know, if you believe you can do it, you really can. But I've thought the older you get, you can really believe you could. And you used to could, but you can't. Amen. But with God, God's not getting old, though he's the Ancient of Days. Amen. God's not getting feeble. God's not getting frail. What God promised, he can do and will do. You have to have complete faith in the promiser. If you got complete faith in the promiser, you can have complete faith in the promise. Amen. Verse 22. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Because Abraham believed God, notwithstanding the contrary appearances. I mean, it looked like it couldn't happen. Abraham just believed God. Because of that, his faith was imputed unto him for righteousness. In other words, we'll say it this way. Since Abraham counted God faithful, God counted Abraham redeemed. Amen. Verse 23. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed unto him. Amen. It wasn't just written for Abraham's sake. Matter of fact, Moses penned these words down hundreds of years after Abraham was gone. So why did he pen this down? He penned it down for our sake. These things are written for our example. They're in samples unto us. Amen. It was written down for us. God had Moses write this down because God was interested in us learning these lessons that he has written down for us. God's showing us an example of how faith works and how salvation works. Amen. God wants us to know that we can trust the promiser and we can believe the promise. Look, verse 24. But for us also. This is what it's written for. Now, it was not written for his sake alone, but that it was imputed on him. But for us also to whom it shall be imputed. So here's what he's saying. God's not changed. God's plan's not changed. I've been saying this every week. The plan, if you want to say it that way, the plan of salvation by faith alone that Paul is preaching here was not invented in the New Testament. It was God's plan all through, even before there was an Old Testament. It was God's plan all along that men and women and boys and girls would be saved by faith alone, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy that he would save us. Amen. That was his plan. And so he said, this is how Abraham believed. And by the way, why does it matter to us? Why does it matter to us how Abraham got saved? Because that's the way anybody gets saved. That's the way everybody, if I said it that way, that is saved or will be saved. Everybody gets saved that way by believing God. Amen. It matters because this is the way of salvation for all. We've got to take God at his word. Now, here's something I'm going to say. And I know how people think. And I'm saying this. I'm not trying to build an amazing sermon. By the way, Romans is an amazing book. And any sermon out of it had to be an amazing sermon. I want to instruct my people. And I want y'all to be firm in the truth. Somebody might say, you know what? Brother Shepherd's really changed. The last 3 weeks, he's been preaching about faith alone, ain't said a word about repentance. If you're taking God's word and you're trying to cut some of God's words out, you're not believing God's word. You're not believing God's word. That's not faith. That's fickleness. Says, well, I believe that page, but I won't believe that page. Amen. Now, here's what Abraham believed God. He believed God's word. We'll just say it that way. All right. What is this Bible? It is God's word. When you start taking words out of God's word, you don't have God's word anymore. You got to believe all of God's word. Amen. You got to believe God's word. And that's what Abraham, and by the way, it is believing God. It's believing God, not believing man. It's believing God. Amen. So, but he says, look, I'm going to finish verse 24. I didn't even finish reading it. But for us also, it's written for us also, to whom it shall be imputed if We believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. Oh, here's what to say. Preacher, don't you know it's impossible for a man to die and get up out of the grave on his own? By the way, they had a big old stone rolled up by that. You know, the Romans would have kept him dead even if he'd have tried to come back alive. By the way, if Jesus had the power to lay his life down and had the power to take it up again, he had more power than them Roman soldiers did. But you say, how can it be that a man could die for the sins of the whole world? And how could it be that after he died that he could get up on his own? You say, that's impossible. Yep, it is impossible, but God promised it. And it's impossible for God to lie, so pick which one you want to believe. Amen? I believe it. When God promised the impossible, it is possible. Jesus said, with man, these things may be impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Amen. Amen. All right, let me get verse number 25 and I'll be done. Verse 25. Who, he's talking about God now, Christ, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Boy, I love the way Paul puts the gospel in there. He's talking about Abraham, but he's got the gospel in Abraham's day. By the way, because Abraham's not important unless you're talking about Christ in the life of Abraham. That's why this Bible don't tell us about everybody. There's a lot of people that have lived in history that our Bible don't even deal with. And people say that sometimes. How come the Bible just skips right over, for example, Alexander the Great? Well, really it don't. If you read Daniel, you see Alexander the Great prophesied 100 years before he ever comes. But he don't deal with Alexander the Great in history as that Bible, or Caesar, or, well, he talks about render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. But you know what I'm saying. There's men of history that say, why does God not deal with them? Because God, that book there is about Jesus Christ. And if they don't relate to Jesus, if it don't somehow relate to God's plan, God's work of salvation, God's not interested in telling us about it because it don't matter. Why don't God tell us where Cain got his wife? Because it don't matter about your salvation where Cain got his wife. Amen. Amen. I like something I used to say at work, when I worked at Gardner, they'd say that, preacher, how come the Bible don't tell us where Cain got his wife? I said, it don't tell me where you got yours either. Because who cares? Amen. Amen. So he says this, God wrote these things down so that we might believe like Abraham believed. So that we might believe God, that when God makes a promise, it's going to come to pass. And he says the promise that you need to believe is that God sent forth his son made of a woman, made under the law to redeem them that were under the law. That Christ Jesus, the Son of God that came to this world, bled and died for the sins of men. And that after he bled and died for the sins of men, he got up from the grave on the third day. You got to believe that. Preacher, that's just too hard for me to believe. Well, you can choose to believe God or not. That's where he's saying. We've got to believe God or not. Now, why did Christ have to go to Calvary? Because God made a promise. Why did Christ have to take upon himself the sins of the world? Because God made a promise. Why did Christ have to bleed and die and be buried in a grave and lay there for 3 days and nights? Because God made a promise. Why did Christ rise again on the third day? Because God made a promise. And you can believe that promise. Amen. Let's stand to our feet as they come with a song. I wrote some things down here I want to say in conclusion as they're coming with this, getting the song ready. Abraham's faith has been held forth to us by God. God told Paul to write these things down. God told Moses to write these things down about Abraham. It was to show us what redeeming faith looks like. What faith, saving faith really is. So you can see it. Here's what saving faith sees: the impossibility, but believes the promiser. Saving faith says, there ain't no way I could ever get saved. Ain't no way God would save me. But believes when God says he will, that he will. Saving faith just believes God. Amen. Take God at his word. Look beyond your difficulties, believe God. Look beyond those things you don't understand, and believe God. Amen. You're standing on the earth today. Lift your eyes up towards the heaven and recognize that that displays the mighty power of God, and that God made a promise and he's powerful enough to fulfill that promise. Amen. Trust in that divine power. Trust in that divine promise. Trust in that divine person. Now you've heard the gospel. Have you believed it? Have you believed it? Abraham discovered that salvation is by faith. David discovered that salvation is by faith. Paul discovered that salvation is by faith. Have you discovered it? If you trust Christ today. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, for the powerful message that you preached to Abraham. Those few words that Moses recorded in Genesis 15. And in these few words that Paul recorded in Romans chapter 4. Lord, we've seen your power and your promise and your person. Help us, dear God, to trust all that for salvation, for our own life, for your help. I pray move in this invitation time, Lord, it'd be a blessing if somebody would get saved today. If they just believe God, believing, hoping against hope, that there might be salvation for them, because they'd find that there is if they trust the Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing, and as we're singing, if you need to come, would you obey the Lord?